such a time as this, I have been sent to earth, my loving heavenly Father chose the moment of my birth. He sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, such a time as this, I have been sent to earth. He sent me here to become like him, to love and serve and pray. And as I try to such a time as this, when I can clearly see a world in need of the Savior's love, His love will shine in me. And as I learn to walk with Christ, such a glorious time as this, He is my guide, He is my light, He is my perfect friend.
Thank you, Joanne. Please be in a spirit of prayer. Lord, what a glorious day this is, rain and all. A day to be here to worship you and to share fellowship with one another, because we have faith, similar faiths, that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, that He has given us His presence in a strange and glorious way through His Spirit. Lord, we don't pay much attention to the Spirit. We know You as Father because there's a whole testament about what You've done. We know You as Son because Jesus is at the heart of our faith. But everything that has happened since Jesus walked this earth has happened because Your Spirit is living with us. Your Spirit guides us, tells us what's important and not, tells us where to go what to do. And not just with orders, but with power. Abilities and skills and desires to do what you've called us to do. We gather here, surrounded by your presence because your spirit moves in this place. We gather here confident of our place in your heart because we have been told over and over again how much you love us and care for us. We know the future you have in store for us. Help our hearts to be yours. Win them over completely, that our lives may reflect our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that others will see and hear and come and believe, and that all of us saved from this world might join you. Yes, Lord, it's a glorious day here. In your presence, these things we declare and we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us these words to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have much to be grateful for, and God has provided abundantly for us, so we bring back to him his tithes and offer our own offerings as well. You presented those as you entered today, and we will present them now to God. Next hymn is Surely the Presence. Be seated. The The lesson for today is from the Gospel of John, selected verses from chapter 14 and 15. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I've told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, you're filled with grief because I've said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. It's summer, it's vacation time. How many of you have been on vacation already? Okay, and probably the rest of you are going to be going sometime soon, and chances are it's to a beach setting, or maybe you camp, go to the mountains, something like that. All very interesting. Pat's on vacation. We all need that respite, it seems. Time to decompress and get away from it. But there have been some changes in vacation time over the last number of years. An increasing number of people are choosing not to just go away to rest and relax, but to have an experience, an adventure. We could put tourist planners are actually sort of dividing vacations up into two categories, hard and soft these days. Soft are those trips to the beach and things like that. Soft would be actually something like a safari. You know, it's a new experience, but you're riding around in a vehicle and you might drive right by a lion or another wild animal, but you're not in fear of it. You know, everything is controlled. But then there also might be a hard adventure. Instead of just simply riding along through the savanna, maybe you decide you're going to hike through the savanna. And there's no iron bars or doors or anything of the sort between you and the wildlife. Maybe it's mountain climbing, maybe it's snorkeling. There are all kinds of things that are considered hard adventures today. One of them was in the news recently when a group of people decided that they wanted to see what a ship that sank a long time ago looked like. Descended down into the ocean to try to find the Titanic. Soft adventures are pretty easy to handle, to plan, but the hard adventures often need something more, and sometimes even the soft ones do. They usually need a guide, someone who knows what's going on, someone who knows where to go and what to see and what it means. When Nancy and I visited Israel years ago, we had one gentleman who met with us each evening. His first name was Peter. I couldn't tell you what his last name was, but Peter would tell us things about what we were going to see the next day. And the next day just jumped off the page when we saw it. We knew exactly what he was talking about. It made so much difference to have had that guiding experience, to know what was going to happen. If you're going to a museum, you need a guide to tell you what all that stuff means. I remember going to Washington to art museums, and I guess I like the old masters more than anything, because when we got to the modern art stuff, I embarrassed my son. I just didn't see where there was any value in any of it, but I'm sure a good guide would have been able to tell me the difference. When we look at Jesus' last words to his disciples in the Gospel of John, we might see them as an advertisement for a hard adventure. The 12 had followed Jesus up and down the hills of Galilee. They had sat and listened to him preach. They'd actually gone through some very difficult things. You know, they survived storms on the sea. They were with him when he exorcised demons. That would have been pretty extreme to me. They saw the miracles that he performed. They saw people flock to him, and they saw people denounce him. It could be considered a hard adventure. But every step of the way, Jesus was there. He was their guide and their friend. But the time was coming when Jesus was going to trek to the cross. He was going to end up in the grave. He was going to ascend to the right hand of the Father. He would be leaving his friends behind to continue the adventure. And in the scriptures, and some of it's prior to what I read to you today, Peter and Thomas had requested Jesus' itinerary. They wanted to know where he was going and why he was going there. And I think you'll remember that they even tried to talk him out of it. But Jesus, in his parting words, keeps the focus not on where he is and where he's going, but on how this ministry that he's had to the world is going to continue. Focusing on the mission and the journey ahead. And for that adventure, they're going to need another guide. He's not going to be there. So he promises them, and in different translations, it's advocate or comforter, or today I'm using the word guide. He's promised them a guide, the Spirit of Truth who comes from the Father. And just as the Spirit of Truth testified to Jesus' person and mission, I mean, deep inside of them, they knew who he was and what he was there for. They were now going to take that testimony to the rest of the world. Without him. And it was hard because the testimony isn't going to be welcomed by everyone. There are going to be people who are hostile to the truth. And it's still not welcomed by everyone. And there are still people who are hostile to the truth. They will put you out of synagogues, Jesus says. Indeed, the hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so, they're offering worship to God. Or they'll do this because they have not known the Father or me. That's also in chapter 14. People will kill you, and legend has it that 10 of the 12 were executed. People will kill you, and in doing so, they'll think that they are worshiping me. You wouldn't blame the disciples for thinking that now would be a good time to head to the beach. It's going to be a tough trek, Jesus warns them, but it's a necessary one if the good news about Jesus is going to reach the world. It's going to take some willing adventurers who are going to travel light with gear, but burdened with the necessity to speak the truth about what God has done by coming into the world as flesh, bringing light to the darkness, bringing light in the midst of death. Jesus had come into the world. He was on his way back to the Father, but the disciples became focused on themselves, what they were going to be doing. They don't ask where Jesus is going anymore. The question for them is, what's going to be our destination? How are we going to get there? Used to be that hiring a guide meant that you would have someone directly on the ground in front of you, but it might be easier for us to understand than it was for them to understand, because, gee whiz, I have a guide in my pocket. In Warren County, where we lived for a while, they used to have these wonderful treks where they would send people out looking for markers, and they had to use their wits. Well, now we have GPS, and everybody can be located in a moment. I can find this without having it in my hand. Guides are all around us, and they monitor our progress, and they have a bigger picture in mind. The disciples aren't going to have Jesus as their on-the-ground guide anymore, but he tells them a surprising thing. It's good, because my spirit can be with you everywhere, not just where I'm at. Sensing their sorrow, the confusion, Jesus promises them a guide who can help them to expand their trekking capacity and keep the big picture in mind. And it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the advocate's not going to come. The guide's not going to be there. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And he wasn't just talking to the 12, he was talking to all of us. So what does the guide provide? Well, the guide's going to tell us about the twists and the turns that are in the road and help the followers of Jesus know what to look for as we go out into the world. And in that scripture that was read today, he is going to point out four wrong paths, four things not to follow, things that the Spirit is going to correct. The first of those is in verse 9, the Holy Spirit guide will help us with the problem of sin. Now, if you want to take this metaphor a little bit further that I've been throwing at you, that means that he's going to look at your backpack and tell you what to throw out. Things that you don't need for the trip ahead. There's no need to be overburdened. You see, the world's idea of the nature of sin is that sin is something that we do or something that we commit. On one level, that's true, but the Holy Spirit helps us to understand the cause of sin. Too many people think that all we need to do is work harder and do more good things and we're sure for heaven. The world has it wrong. The problem of sin is not what we do with our hands, but it's what we have in our hearts. There's a popular song, and the refrain of it says, it's not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. It's not because of what I've done, but it's because of who you are. You is God. You is Christ. It's who we're connected to, the vine and the branches. It's in the heart. Acts of sin are caused by a sin nature. And there's a predisposition to sin. It's biblical. The Holy Spirit helps us to conserve a lot of spiritual energy by understanding the path that we're supposed to follow and not carrying all that other junk with us. Jesus has done everything for us and before us, and now the guide will help us to tell others on the trail that Christ has removed the burden from us and freed us from the burden of doing our best. so that we can simply do the work that we're supposed to do. Holy Spirit guide, verse 10, will help us with the problem of doing good. That's kind of the flip side of the first one. Holy Spirit is going to help us pack our bags with the things that are most essential. Many people think goodness is something we do. Well, thanks to the guide, we know that goodness is not doing, but again, goodness is in the heart. Goodness is being. Goodness is being. The Spirit provides us with a new heart, with a new nature. We are made into new creations in Christ. Unfortunately, the world's idea of righteousness is that the more good we do, the more righteous we are. But the guide tells us what true righteousness looks like, using Jesus himself as the model. He may be returning to the Father, but through the Spirit, he'll continue to guide them, and he continues to guide us and empower them and us to do what he's done. And more verses that I didn't read, but you've heard these before. He said that we're going to do greater things than he did. Now, good things we can handle. Maybe some good things like he did we can handle. But do you really believe that you're going to do greater things than Jesus himself did on this earth? He said so. The Spirit is capable. It's something to think about. The world thinks it's not possible. But through that Spirit, he continues to guide us and empower us. Third thing the Spirit helps us with is to help us to know the route. Verse 11 talks about this. The guide knows the way. We often make poor route choices because we begin with faulty premises and poor understandings of the way things are around about us. What the world thinks is important often isn't very important at all. What the world thinks is wise is often very foolish. What the world thinks is great is when people are your servants. The world thinks that the one with the most toys wins. The world thinks that wisdom comes from being highly educated. The world thinks that success is measured by material possessions. The world thinks that me comes first. The world values pleasure, if it makes you feel good. The world values popularity, power, position. The Holy Spirit helps us reverse these judgments because when we read through the stories of Jesus, he reverses them often, doesn't he? The last will be first. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn. Success isn't measured by material things. The greatest among us are the servants among us. The wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Selfishness is not one of the virtues listed in the scriptures. Because it feels good doesn't make it right. And by understanding how God judges or looks at things, the disciples are going to be able to make good decisions about the way they travel. The last thing the Holy Spirit will help us to do is also in verse 11. It's going to help us with the truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come, says Jesus. He's not going to speak except what I tell him to speak, he says. Truth is a major theme in John's gospel. It's there that Pontius Pilate confronts that question of what is truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. In other words, if we emulate Jesus, our lives aren't going to be a lie. Our lives will instead be lives of integrity, honesty, service, selflessness, and humility, all counterintuitive from the world's ideas. If the disciples want to follow Jesus where he's going, if we want to follow Jesus where he's going, then that means listening for his voice and listening to his voice. Adults, you know what listening to his voice means, right? Obeying, doing what he says to do. The only way to navigate that way is with a guide who will take what Jesus has said and done and declare it to us so that we can participate and that we will be glorifying him. When the guide did arrive, he launched those disciples on a new adventure. Read the book of Acts. Following Jesus has never been about retreating from the world to a tropical island, getting away from it all. It's always been about following the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus for the purpose of changing the world for God's glory. How do you do that? Well, you dig a well. We so take for granted walking to the sink and turning on the tap and having hot or cold water, clean. Dig a well. For people who have to walk 3.7 miles to get water, that may be clean. How do you do that? Well, you joined David and the other of the crew and you head to Philippi with them. I promise you, you don't have to do anything, but you're going to come back different. Because you're going to meet people who have a need that you can provide. Where's the Spirit asking you to go? What is the Spirit asking you to do? First, you have to listen for that, but then you have to listen to that. And that's what makes a church as well. People who listen for and listen to what the Spirit has to say. How's the Spirit guiding you and this congregation in these times? You know, I don't think... I wonder how we made it through the last 3 years, sometimes, with all of the quarantines and all of the rules and such that we had to follow. And were it not for the Holy Spirit, who would be sitting here today? And where would our faith be? To what new journey is the Holy Spirit calling you? Individually and as a whole. I guarantee you he's calling you. Listen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, however we view coming to you, your love is of first importance. The love that you give to us and the love that we can give back. The love that we can share with one another. But we in this place claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. How does that show? Help us, Lord, to experience a renewing of your Spirit, a presence of your Spirit, whatever it is that we need. Help us to listen carefully to what you have to say to us through the Spirit. And Lord, help us to listen to to do what we hear. Most of what's going wrong around us requires us to draw nearer to you and to share the story of Jesus Christ through our words and through our lives. Help us to accept the guidance of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.